Good morning, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs, and this is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. All right, today is March 24th, 2022, and it's a pleasure to have you here with us. We've got a first-time guest here who I've learned to really enjoy talking to. It's Kelly Koch Johnson, who is the Executive Director for the American Association of School Personnel Administrators, which is AASPA.org. All right, and these are the school district human resources folks. All right, if you don't think they're important, there isn't a single person I talk to in this age of social-emotional learning who doesn't understand that every single person who works in a school and school district interacts with the students. And it's the human resources department who tends to hire these people. And they do a hell of a job doing it, especially in this age. All right, where we are having trouble finding staff, not to mention the teacher shortage. So I thought it was very appropriate this time to start working with AASPA. Turns out Kelly is absolutely delightful, and we're going to have a wonderful conversation about the good work of this organization all through school districts in these trying times. And these are pretty trying times, I got to tell you. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's our home website, our Equity and Access website for a consortium for Equity and Access in pre-K-12. You'll see our magazine, which is called Equity and Access. That's our online journal. And you'll see the cover. You can click right through and read a wonderful magazine. Our website is chock full of information. We archive all of our podcasts there. And you can go through and listen to anything you want, including this one. All right. On top of that, we link over to our SELtoday.org, Social Emotional Learning. All right, that's a wonderful website. I hope you go over and check that out. And we also have our teacher-retention.com. We've gotten into a little bit of training. We are very, as you'll learn from the show today, we are very concerned, okay, about teacher retention. Okay, we think you're all wonderful. We want you to stay. All right, we want school districts to be able to hire qualified and keep and hire qualified good people. So please check over teacher-retention.com or just click on the professional learning tag on our menu, which you'll see at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me bring on Kelly. And there she is. Kelly, good morning.
Hi.
It's Larry here. How you doing?
How are you? It's great to be here, Larry.
It's great to have you here, as I mentioned. I mean, it's wonderful. How do you pronounce the first part of your hyphenated last name?
I'm sorry. I should have said Koach.
You know, I kept saying that to myself, but then I realized, well, it could also be Koach, C-O-A-S-H.
Yep.
So, Kelly Koach Johnson, Executive Director for AASPA, AASPA.org, the American Association of School Personnel Administrators. Tell us about it. Tell us what your organization does. I tried.
Absolutely.
You can do better. Go ahead, Kelly.
No. So we are, you were spot on. We're the National Association for School HR Directors, School Personnel Administrators. We also like to call them Human Capital Leaders in Education. We have members in all 50 states as well as D.C. and a few international schools are members as well. We have 38 official state affiliates of school personnel administrators. So not every state in the country has enough HR directors in schools because of their population to have an association, but we do have 38 of them. And we provide a variety of member benefits to individuals and school districts that range from job descriptions to comprehensive professional development. And we are also the credentialing organization for the PHCLE, which is a certification for professional human capital leaders in education.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. I'm going to ask you a softball question. You're going to love this question. Okay? How important is it these days, especially for a school district, okay, to have a professional HR person there?
Well,
I know you can answer that one very easily. Yeah.
No, it's been really crucial. And, you know, the last few years with the pandemic and, of course, with the teacher shortage and the educator shortage, it's become more important than ever because these individuals have become data experts. They have become counselors. They have had to stay abreast of all of the legal pieces with the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, it has been a crazy couple of years. But it was there before that, too.
I can only imagine it was there before that. But everything has been exaggerated because of this darn pandemic, which hopefully is waning, as we get used to it, living with it is a better way to put it. Okay, and I just hope everybody's safe with that. What were the during the pandemic, all right, and by the way, I have to say schools stayed open, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They may not have been open for the kids, but they were open for feeding students. They were open for a lot of things. What during the pandemic, what were the things that you heard coming from your group that were so important and what they did? And then we'll swing into post-pandemic.
Yeah, so we tried to really come ahead and allow folks at that point in time to know that, you know, while businesses were shutting down and they were laying off individuals left and right, that schools were still employing their folks. I mean, even if they were working from home, they found ways to utilize almost every staff member in a school district so that they didn't do layoffs, you know. And so we really pushed that, but obviously it came with its own challenges with regards to technology and state, county, and national regulations, too.
And what are you hearing right now from your group, the school HR directors, about the hiring of non-faculty, which I think sometimes gets lost in the shuffle? We're going to talk a great deal about teacher retention, faculty retention, but non-faculty, non-teachers. This is key stuff because SEL is considered the most important thing right now in education, if I may. You just hear that from everybody that's emotional takes place. And everybody agrees it takes a village. The custodian, the lunch people, no matter the bus drivers. Okay, these people are very important in the education of a kid. How are we doing on hiring those people right now?
So most of the districts that I'm talking to, that's actually a bigger struggle probably than teachers in some areas, because just like what you said, you know, bus drivers, they're losing bus drivers to Amazon drivers, you know, and with the competition for the workforce, they're losing their food services folks to much higher paying jobs. And the support staff in school districts has been a huge struggle to fulfill. And then, of course, substitute teachers, that's probably a big issue.
We'll get into that
well.
In a second. Yeah, jeez.
Yeah.
I forgot about even that. And, yeah, what do they do? What do you hear? What are the innovative things besides obviously raising salaries? I guess that entices people in. But what are the innovative things that you're hearing that they're doing to hire non-educators, if I may?
Right.
Did
so
you
probably,
cool? Yeah.
Yeah, probably the neatest things I've seen is that this this deeper involvement with their communities. So districts, you know, are doing these, they're opening up their buildings for these opportunities for parents and communities to come inside, you know, not during school hours, of course, but for a job fair. And so they're spending a lot of time highlighting the importance of the school to the community and opening up the ability to say, hey, why don't you just come on over to the school district tonight, see what we're all about, see what kind of jobs we have. We'll tell you all about the benefits and really pushing community in jobs, because I think that's where it's gonna really help, is that folks aren't gonna take a job at a school because it pays better, but they might take a job at a school because they feel the connection to their community the growth of their community through that.
You know, it's an interesting point. I was talking to a school district. I won't even say which one. I will say it was down south. Okay, one of our southern states, and he said one of the challenges they have with hiring educators is that when this gentleman went to school there, all of the teachers lived in the community. All right? But these days, maybe 2% of them do. And he said the turnover has been incredible. Your point, that's an excellent point, that people have to understand how important the schools are to the community. And if you have good schools, you're going to have, A, a better community, but, B, everything about the community's value goes up. You know, the first question they always ask is, how are the schools if you go to buy a house? All right, how are the schools? All right, and to make the community understand their importance in that, okay, is really an interesting take on. I like that, and I want to swing over now. But you can talk about this one, substitute teachers. How does your group fit in with substitute teachers?
So obviously, our members are also charged with the task of supplying a substitute teacher pool to their districts as well. You know, sometimes the school districts can outsource that, but a lot of districts do that in-house. And there has been a huge substitute teacher shortage. So in the past, before the pandemic, you could count on maybe retired teachers to come back and substitute when it was needed and things like that. But with the pandemic, they said, no way, Jose.
Right.
And we were faced with a huge shortage. And then also faced with this idea that, gosh, I could make a couple $100 a day being a substitute, or I could make more than that going to, you know, maybe even drive for Uber or work for Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's that gig economy that they're talking about that probably hurts both the substitute teacher pool as well as, you know, even our support staff as well.
And how, you know, I agree with you. There's an economic question for all these folks, okay? And obviously you're going to spend a day at work. You don't want to kill yourself, but you want to make better money, all right? That's a key. That's just human nature, and it makes perfect sense to me, all right? So who are we getting? How are we getting substitutes in there? What are you hearing on that?
Well, what we've been tracking at the national level, which has been fascinating and scary all at the same time, is while during the pandemic, no state boards of education were really willing to mess with teacher certification requirements. So nobody really made a lot of adjustments to teacher certification requirements, but what they did do is really dramatically change the requirements to be substitute teachers in school districts. Mm-hmm. So we saw some states go from a requirement of a bachelor's degree to a requirement of a GED. Some states, and some of those rules were temporary. So in Kansas, for example, they just passed something that said
your
that
state.
You could, state that where we're at, where you could hire a substitute teacher on an emergency basis. So through the end of this school year, and they needed to pass a background check, have a high school diploma or a GED, and then you could bring them into your school district. And where in the past there was educational requirements, and in Missouri did a similar law, and their Department of Education now provides, I think it's a 60-hour training for those substitute teachers before they can go into a classroom. But ultimately, the requirements to be a substitute teacher have been significantly changed to help this. Now, again, the question we have and what we're concerned about and what we monitor is, are those changes to substitute teacher requirements going to be a precursor for changes to teacher certification requirements? And so far, not really. That was something that we definitely saw a huge paradigm shift in the last 2 years.
I was talking to a district down south, a different district, okay, the other day, and they said something like 15% of their teachers are not certified.
Oh, yeah,
That's the only way they can get people in.
Yeah. I think I have a statistic that says 15 years ago, 75% of all substitute teachers had a teaching certificate.
Yeah.
And today, 80% do not.
Have they thought about working with the education schools, okay, the colleges? You know, all these kids who are freshmen, juniors, sophomores, whatever, want to be teachers. Could they bring them in and use them as substitutes? Maybe they've already thought of this, and I'm not as bright as I think. You know,
no.
And just make it part and parcel of their if I may, their training to become teachers. Have
Absolutely.
They thought of that? It's not
no,
a bad idea if they haven't. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the neat best practices that we have seen. And so, you know, we're all about trying to showcase best practices at ASPA. So
yeah.
we've tapped into a few districts to say, hey, you got to come and present this. So, yes, we have seen some really innovative workings and partnerships between school districts and colleges of education where they will tap those students sooner than later and help them get more integrated into the world of teaching and learning. Before they even graduate, you know, and then what you're talking about is the grow your own programs that are happening at school
yep.
district level. And, you know, we say you have to, I know that they take a while, right? So you start a grow your own program today, you're going to be 7 years until you actually maybe see a return on your investment.
That's
but
right.
You have to do it. You just have to do it. And there's some great state programs for grow your owns, but ultimately, districts have to really own that piece of, and that goes back to that community piece.
It does.
You know, taking pride in your district and saying, we want you to be a teacher, and more than that, we want you to come back here and be a teacher.
It's just so darn important. I'll tell you, when I was in teachers' college, if they had come to me and said, look, part of your training will be one day a week you'll be in the local school district as a substitute teacher, a paid substitute teacher.
Yeah.
And in those days, that would have been $15 a day, which we would have thanked God for that much money. Who would believe it? Okay. You know, and we would have loved it.
Yeah.
We would have loved it. You know,
well,
and that's a win-win because you get to see what it's like to be in a school district.
It's
on the,
a win-win.
From the other side of the desk. Yeah.
One of the things that we're really working on as a national association is to bring more players to the table, and one of those big players is the colleges of education.
Yeah.
They're having the same conversations that we are with regards to the shortage, you know, educator shortage.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're not groups like ourselves and the colleges of education and the departments of education, we're not working together as much as we should. And having the conversations with them so that they understand more so what the school districts need in the immediate world as well as the future world, those have to happen more. And there's a big push for that. And we're happy to be at the forefront of making those relationships more apparent, both, you know, on a national level, but then we're
Absolutely.
Encouraging at the state level for our own state affiliates to say, hey, every time you have an event, you need to make sure that you're also inviting the colleges of education so that they hear what you hear and that you guys can start working together, because that's where the solutions are going to come from. The ideas of innovation and best practices are going to come from working together.
How involved, okay, are your people? These are the HR directors, if I may. Again, we're talking to Kelly Coash Johnson, who's the executive director of the American Association of School Personnel Administrators, the HR folks in school districts. And how involved are you folks with the, I want to ask this the right way, and please don't misunderstand, I'm just trying to phrase it correctly, the professional side, the certification side, the educational side of a school district's hiring practice, okay? Are they involving HR enough? Because you folks understand human nature, if I may, all right? That's part of what you're interviewing, learning to be a good interviewer is. Okay, how involved in the hiring of teachers is the typical school personnel director? Maybe that's the easier way to answer that question, ask that question.
Yeah, so, you know, we have members that are from really, really, really large school districts that sometimes that hiring happens at more of a building level than it does at a central district level. But what they are ultimately in charge of is also training those principals on how to interview, right? So they're involved in every facet of interviewing and recruitment and the job description and making sure all the risk management pieces are put together where they need to be too. So if they're not directly interviewing every day, then they are training others to interview every day.
Yeah.
Especially right now because they're right in the middle of hiring season. So they're helping principals potentially with the interviewing process at the building level.
And hiring is one part of the story. You know, we can hire people, but then we have to retain them.
Right.
In other words, if you just hire a warm body, and I'm, I know we need warm bodies, believe me. Okay, because I'm trying to be practical here. All right, but the cost of bringing someone in, interviewing, training, working with them, and then to have them leave after a year is incredibly expensive. All right,
exactly.
And everybody, it's brutally expensive, and school districts don't have that much money. How involved are the HR departments, not only in the interviewing, but in teacher retention?
Yeah.
What are you hearing on that on that side?
Huge. And I would say that is where we like to spend a majority of our headspace and our professional development is more so on retention because retention is the new recruitment.
Yeah.
And that's
wow.
That's
an interesting statement.
Yeah.
Retention is the new recruitment. Wow.
Retention is the new recruitment. And districts are finding out, just like you said, that it's costing more to recruit teachers than it is to retain them. But, you know, saying that, we're not doing a good job of caring for our new teachers or educators or staff, you know, with things like mentor supports, growth opportunities, making sure that their social-emotional needs are met, especially in those first few years. And so that's been something that districts are now saying, oh, my gosh, this equals that, you know. So if so when I present, you know, I say there are some really great calculators out there, you know. You can plug in some numbers and find out how much it's going to cost to recruit a new teacher in your district. And I say do that because when your board is coming to you and saying you need to get out and recruit and travel to these career fairs, if you can make an argument that says, can I use more of that budgetary allocation towards retention, then that's a more fiscal responsible reaction, you know. So those changes are happening, which is really, really cool to see. And talk about innovation in mentoring and leadership programs and first-year teacher programs and even third- and fourth-year programs. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In the olden days, we used to say you have a year of a mentor, and then you are now a full-fledged teacher. And now hey, let's start with a year, and then let's go to year two and year three, and then year five, we want to start looking at you being a mentor, you know, and growing them from day one and hired to retired. So constantly looking at how to grow a person.
I love your cliches today. Hire to retire.
Yeah.
I love that. Retention is the new recruitment.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And hire.
Hire to retire.
I love this.
Yep. Yeah.
Are you making these up as we go along, or is this something? Or is this, do you have little T-shirts with this stuff on? This is great. How many of your membership Okay. Again, AASPA, the American Association of School Personnel Administrators. How many of those people are trained educators? I'll just ask that. Do they come out of the HR field or the education field, or how's it come together?
Right, right. So while I do not have official data to back
make
up,
something
you
up.
Know,
it's
this
radio.
Statement,
just
right,
make
right,
something
right.
up. Go ahead. It's
we,
okay.
you yeah. know, we kind of did a little bit of that data collection when we were looking at our certification program. Because unlike a principal typically or even curriculum, most folks in education always come up through education. And I would say that kind of what we figured out is about 70% came up through education.
Huh.
And then the other 30% of HR directors came over maybe from private industry. Maybe they were an HR director at a hospital.
Cool.
Or something like that. And so that was really the preface of the certification program, is that what we found is that if you were a principal, a teacher and a principal, and then an HR director, there were pieces of HR that you really were good at, the interviewing piece, for example,
yeah.
Possibly the recruitment piece, but you were really missing things on maybe risk management, some of the federal laws with regards to HR, and then vice versa. If you came over, you were really good at all that transactional stuff, but you really struggled with the culture of what a school district is, specifically collective bargaining in many states, things like that. So that's really what pushed the certification program, is to make a well-rounded HR director that has both equally educational background and an HR piece.
Right. It's just so important, I got to tell you. And I'm up on your website. There's a lot of things coming up. We're going to do more shows together. Okay.
Sure, yeah.
I hope you're enjoying yourself and we're going to do more shows together. Okay. I'm having
absolutely.
A good time. Okay. But I just want to make sure you have an annual conference coming up in October. There's virtual cohorts, et cetera. Just tell school districts whom we're talking to now. Okay, well, we'll just give them a quick preview. And again, it's AASPA.org, everybody. But just, Kelly, from your point of view, what's coming up next, et cetera.
Yes, so we have a Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Conference coming up in April in Chicago. And that one is fairly new to us because this will be the third year. Our first year was held virtually during the pandemic, and then last year we had a hybrid, and then this year we'll be in person. And that's April 28th and 29th. We're running two strands. One is on specifically on recruitment and retention.
Oh, well.
And then the second side is strategic leadership because, you know, there's two pieces to diversity, equity, and inclusion with regards to school districts and HR, and that is you need to recruit and retain, but you also need to have a strategic leadership path. You need to have a strategy in place with your district. You need to have the culture on board with your district, things like that. So that's a very popular conference, but by far our favorite is always our annual conference, which is the 10th through the 13th of October in Orlando, and we will have over 100 breakout sessions on those best practices that I keep talking about. So really and truly, most of those sessions are done by districts that have done something really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
yeah,
as we do more shows together, okay, you're welcome to bring on your wonderful, your folks who know what they're doing.
I would
love
that.
Okay, a guest with you, you know, whatever district it is. I'm sure a lot of them know what they're doing, but I'm happy to share this with a broader group because not everybody can get to a conference, so we try to do everything we can here to get the info out.
You got it.
You'll be welcome. All right. Kelly, this is wonderful. We're going to leave today, but we're going to schedule it a lot more.
You got it. Thank you so much.
And
I really did enjoy
myself. I'm going to talk you into crossing into Missouri and getting me some ribs and sending them over.
You got it. I will do it.
Okay.
We'll do it.
Chicken fried steak, too. Okay. This is wonderful. Okay. Thanks, Kelly.
Have a great day.
Great to have you on. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Everybody, that's Kelly Coash Johnson, AASPA.org. Check it out. It's good stuff. More important than ever these days. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Check out what we're doing at teacher-retention.com.